Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm an accountant of 40%German.com, and I'm joined by our man in the Nuremberg land, Simon Maddox, and coming straight out of Bonn, stalwart producer Simon Josie, to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. So, hi Simon, hi producer Simon.
Na, wie geht's?
Okay, try and top that one, producer Simon.
I can't, honestly. I can't.
Okay, given this is the penultimate Decades From Home, I thought I might start by blowing your minds a little. We got a listener email, and it wasn't from Walter. Finally, it's the turn of long-time listener Mike in Vienna to come to us wielding a sharp-edged question. Mike writes, "Dear Nick, Simon, and Simon," he doesn't define which is producer Simon, so I can't work out in which order of preference he puts you. Maybe that's an insight into my mind.
That's tough else. Now. Yeah.
Didn't need to bring that up, did you?
After swapping a couple of comments on Blue Sky with Simon, your long-term listener of Vienna thought he would ask a question to you all to break Walter's streak monopoly on questions. I took my twins to Hamburg for a few days as an early birthday present for them. It was their first time flying without their mum, who was home in Vienna with our elder son. In the search of cheap and central accommodation for the three of us, we found an Ibis and a breakfast was included. Having had a poor night's sleep punctuated by a Tony box that kept on restarting, oh God, that's a nightmare I have, I was not yet functioning properly as I surveyed the buffet for all of the few seconds. This was enough evidence for a German lady to tell me that my lack of speed at the breakfast buffet was attributable to it clearly being my first holiday as a single parent. It got worse, as she added, "Bei mir war es auch so, aber jetzt geht es Rucki-zucki." I am traumatized by this expression, rucki-zucki. My wife and colleagues found my experience naturally hilarious. And now for my question. Bloody hell, he's taking liberties here. What are your takes on good and bad breakfast buffet etiquette? E.g., raiding the buffet to make a packed lunch, reuse of plates, filling a thermos, reserving places, and other typical behavior. Cheers from Vienna, Mike. P.S. I dare either Simons to use Moin as a greeting from the podcast Moin. That's a cheeky one from up north. Okay, I see what you've done there, Mike. You snuck in a bonus buffet question while also assaulting us with the phrase rucki-zucki, which every time I say makes me feel dirty and in need of some decontaminatory shower of some kind. So, lads, what do we think is rucki-zucki? Something you'll incorporate into your daily lexicon, perhaps? And what's your buffet strategy? Are you hoarding, sharing, or coming down super early in the morning to lick all the croissants so no one else can eat them? What's the plan then, gents?
Well, okay, let's start with a couple of those. As I did at uni, I'd always start with definitions of words I was going to use a lot. What the shit is rucki-zucki?
It's like just like that, as far as I can understand it. I got a list of them, rucki-zucki. There's a few of these kinds of like funny little phrases that I'll throw at you in a moment, but essentially rucki-zucki is kind of, that's exactly how it'll be. Like eventually you'll sort of get it right. I think that was that my understanding of how it goes.
I thought it meant very quick.
In a flash, in a jiffy, just like that, you know?
Okay.
Like a snap of the fingers, that was my understanding of it. But I got a couple more of those. There's a few of these phrases that you have in German that are a bit like this. Sort of a little bit. I don't know. Just leave a weird tang in my mouth when I hear them.
Simon's eyes, right? He's nowhere near the microphone.
This is riveting content, isn't it, eh?
I even took notes, man. Give me a second. I took notes and everything. It's going to be solid fare for the podcast. So here's a couple of them. So we've got, these are ones you may or may not have heard. Shikimiki. So you might have heard shikimiki. Shikimiki is like sort of stylish or at least super stylish, perhaps. Maybe slightly too ostentatious in some senses.
Hoity-toity in English, yeah. Shikimiki.
Hoity-toity. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good translation. How about hop-a-la-hop? Or hop-a-da-hop? I think that's the way. Hop-a-la-da-hop. That's one that I got recently. Harley Garley is a really famous one. I think there's a TV show named
Harley Garley. I think it's
I told my E's, they'll always kill me. Zikizaki is another one. Or zigzag is the other option.
No.
Quite a fun one to say, I think. But yeah, this is what do you think of these phrases? Are they ones you're introducing into your daily lexicons?
No, I don't think so. My wife's football team, before a game, they will go zicky zacky zicky zacky oi 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 in a circle, and every time I hear it makes me cringe a little bit. Or is it at the end of the game? I don't know, but they say it at some point as a team. I'm like, eh. But they also shout in English at the start, what time is it? Game time, which I quite like that they just stole from the Chicago Bulls. If it's good enough for Michael Jordan, it's good enough for Arti Francona in the lowest league of women's football in Bayern. Yeah. But no, I'm not taking any of those. No. Zack Zack, I have used to be done quickly. But yeah, this new one, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I feel about Rookie Zookie.
What do you think, Simon? Are you going to add this to your communication strategy with the neighbours as you walk with the dogs?
Probably not, to be honest. I feel pretty uncomfortable with this kind of word, you know, because, you know, I'm not entirely sure what it means, or it's just kind of a nonsense word, isn't it?
Yeah, it sort of is. Because there is so many of these kind of short turns of phrase, like, I think people really like them. I feel like there was a period in the 70s and 80s where they were super popular, and they've kind of phased out of kind of popularity as the young words have snuck in, such as like cringe and what was the one, goon? Is that the one that we had
Don't go back to that, please. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, I thought we got... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry to bring us down and back to that particular topic. We don't have to go there. It's fine. So moving on from this phrase that makes us feel a little bit, how about your buffet strategy? Are you the type of people who like have a strategy? Do you know what you're doing?
I've got another question. Sorry to interrupt here. Ibis or Ibis?
Ibis, no.
I don't know. I've never been confident with it.
I would have said Ibis.
Because I'd say if it's German, right? Because it's IKEA, so it's Ibis. But in English,
that's a Swedish word.
I know, but it's how they pronounce it in German. It would be IKEA, and then it would be IKEA in English, and Ibis in German, and Ibis in English, I guess.
Okay, I have more questions here. What is a Tony box?
Oh, right, Tony box is this particular device that you get in Germany. I think there's similar variants in other countries, if not the same thing. It is a little box that has some kind of sensor on it, and it connects to the internet, and you put in like this, you can buy these little like gonks that are essentially shaped like the story that they're going to tell. So if it's, I don't know, a Grimm's fairy tale, it'll be, I don't know, a Little Red Riding Hood or something, and you stick it on top of the Tony box, and it'll play Little Red Riding Hood. But you can also get kind of Disney ones and stuff like that. So you can get all these different little things that you can put on top of the box. But you've also got, essentially, you can collect lots of little statuettes of different stories. And it's just a way of essentially just ejecting all your earnings into the pockets of some like ridiculous toy maker who's just created this thing that's essentially crack for kids. It's Pokemon, but like worse. It's Pokemon, but it's stories. So you're educating your kids. You're like, oh, if I don't get it, then I'm not educating my kids. My daughter's wanted one for ages, and we've refused to purchase one.
Okay, so that's an opportunity for learning the hard rules of capitalism. I like this. Okay. Okay, so I think those are all my questions. So now to your question about buffet strategy, I think there is only one real buffet strategy that has to be sort of adhered to, and that is find out what the deal with the eggs is. And then evaluate from there. Once you know what the eggs options are, then it becomes really, really simple, really, really quickly. Like, is it a scrambled egg that's been boiled in a bag from for some horrible supplier? Then I'll have a little bit of egg. Not much, though. Is it a freshly fried egg? I'm going to town on that. Are there other options? Is it maybe an over easy or a boiled egg or even a poached? If there's a poached, that buffet is in trouble. I'm going to be hitting that egg section very, very hard. I can't have bacon anymore, so I move on straight past that. It's just eggs. And then next thing, what are the cheese selections like? If it is a pre-cut slice of cheese, I'm going to be disappointed. I want to have big blocks of cheese that I can cut myself. If that is an option, then I am in heaven. Eggs and cheese.
Wow, that's, I mean, I don't think I've been to many places that would just have a block of cheese you could cut yourself. That is that's some high living, that is. Definitely.
I've got no children.
No, I'm not jealous. I'm just, well, actually, I wonder what those cheeses tasted like. Oh, dear me. No, tell me more. Yeah.
What about smoked salmon? Because that's usually the killer for me. If there's smoked salmon, I'm usually quite greedy.
Smoked salmon is another that is getting hit hard in that scenario. We stayed at a lovely hotel in Fulda. The hotel itself was not very pretty, but the dining hall was like this baroque, like orgy of like elegance. And they had an entire smoked salmon with like no one guarding it. And so yeah, I had a huge amount of smoked salmon and they had whole blocks of cheese. You cut
Holy
yourself.
Shit.
It was literally the best breakfast buffet I've ever been to in my life. Yeah, Fulda. If you're ever going to Fulda, make sure you investigate the dining room situation of whatever hotel you're in, because there is one out there that is fucking spectacular and very fairly priced. I will say that.
My general strategy is I've got to have a good oversight of everything. I need to know exactly everything that before I can make any of my combinations. Because especially
combinations.
Because in Germany, right, you never know what you're going to get on your buffet. You could get one of those places that is thought ahead and gone, let's get some actual bacon here, or at least a closest approximation from the Metzger Eye, and we'll get some nice sort of fried eggs, as you said. Places that has multiple fried eggs, that's the place you want. It's got some boiled eggs, some like sunny side up, scrambled eggs. That's all the stuff you're looking for. And see if you can get all this stuff, because essentially you're going to be combining things together. So usually what I'll do is fried stuff first, then maybe a croissant, maybe a bit of muesli. Oh, yeah. Some yogurt. Why not just treat yourself?
Maybe muesli.
Muesli. That's how you spell it. And
it's
say
not
it.
How you spell it.
Muesli.
That's
what it
how
is.
You say it either.
It is. It's exactly. You spell it 00.
What do you call it, Simon? He's panicking. Listener, he is panicking. He doesn't know what to do now.
I am a little bit down. I'd probably just call it muesli.
Yeah, of course you do. You're a sane person from a sane country.
I know. I think it's totally fine. I think you just call it muesli.
Muesli.
Muesli. Like a cow or something.
What do you want? Exactly. What do you want from me? It's just the way I say it.
Yeah, muesli.
I haven't. It's, oh man. What if you wanted to say, I'll just get some Alpen. It's fine.
Alpen's fine. I'll take that pronunciation. Alpen.
Alpen. Yeah. Gives me Alpen. Yeah. I don't say anything because I don't have to ask anyone for it. I just take it shamefacedly from the shelf without actually pronouncing it for fear that anyone would mock me as I'm heading for the checkout. No. So like I generally just, you want to know what things you're going to be able to mix together, because that's ultimately what the best part of a buffet is. It's getting loads of shit together on a plate and chowing down.
Okay, but quickly on the plate combinations then. Would it be legitimate for you to have some fried eggs, some bacon, maybe some mushrooms and tomato, and then have some fruit on that same plate?
No, that's a separate plate.
Okay.
That's good. You might get the fruit greasy. I mean, there's some fruit that goes really good, like a bit of melon and some bacon. That don't hurt none.
That's always a
good combination. There's some of the ones that I'm trying to think that might work. Whenever there's like banana and cherries, that's some weird shit. Don't mix that with your fried eggs.
Okay,
that's an error.
I was just thinking about plate efficiency. I've seen some mad combinations.
You usually get a really small plate though, don't you?
Yeah.
Depends how far your table is from where the food is.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Yeah.
Like at some of these places in Asia where you sit outside by the pool having your breakfast, it's quite a hike from the table to the buffet. So you want to have a big plate and just pile it all on.
Simon casually is dropping these places in Asia where you sit by the pool, have your breakfast.
Yeah, that's never been my problem, mate. Never been an issue. I've never been in a breakfast place that was like so big that I was tired from walking to the other side. It's usually quite confined, if anything. They need
I can't
more
see the buffet.
Oh, dear me. No, I suppose the biggest culture shock was American buffets, because you can sort of understand why like the cheese option is quite insane in a German buffet. Like that's quite is weird that you get like as much cheese as and ham and sort of salami on offer. But whereas in America, it was cake, just like waffles and cake and more cake and like really sugary cereals. I was just in Italy. Do you know what they have for breakfast? Like this is a country that sort of strives to maintain its tradition for its food and that. Their breakfast is so lame. It's the like, do you want some like cereal? Here's some cereal and this like brioche croissant-y thing in chocolate that comes out of a plastic bag. That's basically it. It's really pretty appalling.
I thought it was an espresso and a cigarette. I thought that's what you were supposed to do.
That's in Rome. Only in Rome. It's weird. It's weird. They sort of breakfast traditions don't sort of go as far. In Prague, they had soup on the breakfast buffet, which I thought was an interesting option.
So I think when we last went to Prague, we stayed in this like old, it's like an old 5-star hotel from the communist times. And the exterior of the property looked amazing. The rooms were pretty okay, very cheap for what it was. But the buffet was like stepping back behind the Iron Curtain. There were some interesting Balkan cheeses though that I'd never had before. One that was braided and a little bit sour that I'd never had. It was very nice.
Mm. It's nice when you find like a little surprise on the buffet that you weren't expecting. Yeah, just something amazing. The waffle maker in America, that was the thing that stood out for me. I was like, you're going to let me make my own freaking waffles, you lunatics. You watch me abuse this horrendously.
I'm going to win this game of paying for breakfast.
You didn't know I was coming. Watch this shit.
I remember one thing when we'd been to the States a couple of times and stayed in these kind of, you know, Holiday Inn, Ibis, whatever, hotels on the road. And the thing that always used to horrify me was the plates were all styrofoam. And everything was put in the rubbish. And you bet there's no bloody separation of that. It's just all going to landfill. It's just disgusting.
No.
Is that where it goes?
Yeah. This goes in a big hole in the ground. And I ship it off to Utah or something. It's
fucking grim.
It's really, really sad. And I say, like, you pay, like, good money in a lot of these hotels. The facilities aren't that amazing. The rooms aren't that nice. And then you have this, like, very impressive spread. But everything you touch is going to go in the bin. It's bothersome. And they wonder why, like, there's a obesity epidemic and loads of cancer. Like, eating, like, high fructose things off styrofoam plates. It's tragic.
It's pretty awful.
And here we are eating our muesli out of lovely handcrafted wooden bowls in the Alps.
I mean, I hadn't thought about my pronunciation of muesli being anything other than like fairly benign, and now I'm going to be in constant fear every time I say it. Muesli. I'd like some muesli, please. Oh yes, this is a much better tone. I'll have some muesli. No, I'm still going to say muesli. It's happening.
That is the average accent of a muesli eater in the UK. So I think probably spot on.
It's similar in Newcastle. I remember that my mate who lived on the other side of the city, instead of saying mirror, he said miro. And it was the most shocking thing.
Miro?
Miro. He's like, do you want to look in the mirror? And I was like, you mean the mirror? What are you talking about? Absolute lunatic. Yeah.
And when challenged him on it, was he like, that's how we say it in this part of the city? Like, it's local pronunciation.
Equally, he thought I was insane. And that I'd had like some terrible head injury that meant that I couldn't say Miro correctly. So no, he's totally, but we both of us were convinced that the other was saying it in a way that was reprehensible. It was quite funny.
There was a kid at my school who misspelled the word box. He spelled it B-O-X-E. And when challenged on it, he claimed that because he'd lived in America, he'd picked up the American spelling of the word box. He held on to it for literally years. He wouldn't give up that he just misspelled the word box.
Oh, dear me. But you can imagine that, like, holding water for a period of time in secondary school where people would be like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense.
None of us have lived in America. He must know.
Yeah. They go, like, someone goes onto a... goes to a Disneyland or Disney World or something and rumbles them. No good.
So, returning quickly before we run out of time in this episode to Simon's question. No, sorry, not Simon's question. It was lovely Mike, the lovely Tottenham supporter from Vienna. Good lad. I guess the essence of his question comes down to this German feeling that giving people such critical feedback in public is totally acceptable. To critique someone by saying it must be your first solo holiday with your kids, that's why you're so shit at this, is brazenly rude and should not be accepted.
Yeah, I think it's what to expect if you're holidaying in Germany. Is you'd be surprised if someone doesn't comment on something you're doing that isn't right. That's the essential German experience, right?
It doesn't happen to me that much. Maybe I'm just nailing this living in Germany thing. Or maybe I just look a little bit too much like a right-wing radical to these omas to give feedback at the buffet bar.
Yeah, thankfully, I don't look like a right-wing radical at the buffet bar. I look like a middle-class goon, if anything. Oh, wait, no, not that kind of goon. I guess I don't get that many corrections, in fairness. No, and I have been corrected in the past. I feel like now I'm just doing everything the right way, so no one's going to really correct me. But you can imagine someone being corrected like that. This experience is one that I recognize from my time in Germany, I think.
Mm. Yeah, boo to this kind of behavior. I think it should be banned. And the buffet should be a place of quiet contemplation and not feedback on others.
Yeah, exactly. It's too early in the morning for this critique. What are you doing, woman?
So, I mean, I guess my question to Mike would be like, what do you wish you had said to her now? But yeah, this is the penultimate episode. There's no time for a reply, so we'll never find out. So there's something just the universe can digest and ruminate over. What should we say to these people?
Well, gentlemen, to use a certain turn of phrase, it's the same procedure as every year this week. I feel dirty just using that quote. Anyway, it is applicable. As it's my annual holiday from the podcast, and I've compiled some observations in an important document I've entitled My Holiday Report by Nicholas Houghton, aged 42. So here's my holiday report. The first thing I noted on holiday to the UK was there were entirely too many flavours of Jammy Dodger. Blueberry flavoured, banana, cola, bloody hell. Like Jammy Dodgers, for those who don't know, are essentially a shortbread biscuit with jam in the middle. That used to just come in, I think it was like a strawberry flavoured.
Strawberry, yeah, that was it.
And now there are like 75 million flavours, and it made me feel really old, and I was like, this is too much. I just wanted one flavour, which is the flavour that is normal.
So what you're telling me is that the Jammy Dodger has become the UK version of the Oreo.
Yeah, it's like limited edition versions that come out, like the cola flavoured was limited edition. I was just like, this is hurting my brain. It broke me a little bit. I was like, okay, I guess. I was like, the Lidlification of my brain, because now in Lidl, you just have one thing. You don't have multiple things. What is this?
It's genuinely made me quite sad. Like, I feel like, I feel really sad that that's the kind of progress that Britain is pushing for these days. Come on, we used to like rule the waves, and now we just be like, oh, let's put a weird flavour in a biscuit that nobody's asked for.
Blueberry-flavoured Jammy Dodgers sounded exceptionally odd. There was like lemon tart-flavoured. Oh, there were so many. Just an odd experience all around.
It's the bloody Americanization of the UK biscuit. It's disgraceful.
But I think the Oreo thing is exactly what they've done. They've just copied that model.
Yeah.
But it was the first time that I went and I got like loads of different stuff and for the kids and brought it back. And I thought, oh, the kids will love these. So I got like Tunnocks tea cakes, Tunnocks wafers, custard creams. What else did we get? Jammy Dodgers and some other stuff too. So that was nice. Biscuit aisle. Go to it if you're in Britain. It's worth a look.
I've not had a custard cream in 30 years. And we used to get like charity ones at my school that were produced for charitable organizations, and they were just depressing. So I wouldn't even have one today if you offered it me.
I love a dirty like custard cream bourbon biscuit combination. That's the way to live it.
Combination? What, together at the same time?
You dunk them and then you eat them.
Not together?
Yeah, if you can, if you manage it and it fits in the mug.
Christ.
Yeah, it's the way to do it, man. It turbocharges your biscuit dunking experience.
I don't even know what to think.
Your mind's been blown. How about that? You ponder that while I hand you on to my second point that I observed, which is British holidaymakers have a terrible reputation in a number of places, but surely German holidaymakers must get some bad reviews because those guys are totally and utterly wild. I spent a week in a holiday camp with like mostly German tourists, and they are just worth observing, I think. I don't want to be too judgmental because I'm very aware I'm British and potentially represent some of the worst tourists in history, if we can say that. But the just no politeness. Like I was, you were standing in queues in shops, so they would just be pointing at things and going, that, give me this, put it here. Some would just say the word that the thing they wanted. No, please, no, thank you. Like I tried my shitty Italian out. Uno, cappuccino, por favore, per favore. Yeah, I was trying my best. And they would just reply in cut glass English. No problem, sir. Anything for you.
There is a theory about Germans being quite rude on holidays. This idea that for the first time, well, one of the few times in the year, they know their neighbours aren't watching. And so they just have this like brazen like lack of fear of repercussions. And so they just say and do whatever they want because nobody they know is watching them. As soon as they're being watched by people who know them, they behave very, very differently.
Interesting. It's a community structure.
Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon of like once a year, not only do they go and get some sun, they go and just be absolute twats to people. Like it's just for no good reason. But you see it everywhere. Like you can even have like a tour group of Germans, and because they don't know each other and they know at the end of the week they're not going to see each other again, they just feel like it's okay just to be like rude to waiters.
Really?
And to talk about other people as well.
Yeah, it's a really interesting perspective to take. It's really like that kind of feels like it explains why they would behave in that way, because I was kind of shocked at how brutal they could be at times. And also I kind of wondered why the people who worked in the resort area seemed so grumpy, and it became abundantly clear as soon as I saw them interacting with German tourists. And I was just like, God damn.
Yeah. We saw it in the Netherlands, like when you, like on the coast there, obviously a lot of Germans go to the Dutch coast for the holidays. It's very nice and big recommendation from my side, but they'd go to an ice cream parlor and then not ask for it the way that it was written. They would just say the German for it. And so this Dutch person has to translate the German to the Dutch and then get like treated poorly at the same time. Whereas, yeah, I say like, you see how it's written, you know what it is you want, and you just give it a crack at saying it in Dutch or in Italian or whatever it is. But no, they just like said it in German. It wasn't everyone, but it was the people in front of us. I was like, that's brazen. Yeah. That's impressive levels of disrespect.
My favourite thing I saw a German tourist do was a bloke and his daughter. There seemed to be a lot of single dads taking their daughter to this holiday camp. I felt really, it's really odd. I was like, okay, this is weird. It's like haunting. We were sitting at a table and it was this amazing restaurant inside a bowling alley. You wouldn't believe it. It looked like something out of New Jersey, but it was in this Italian town above a bowling alley. You could see them bowling underneath us, and we're sitting in this booth, and this guy and his daughter sat down behind us, and they hear them ordering in English, and they bear in mind the place is serving these amazing pizzas, and the guy's like, I'll have a burger, and I'm like, you into what? I felt like turning around and slapping him. So what are you doing? You're in Italy, why are you ordering a burger, you lunatic?
Yeah, it's a weird one. Let's do that.
But it turns out, I mean, that's just the way, I guess, the way the cookie crumbles for some people. I should be less judgmental and petty, but that would be no good for this podcast.
That's the essence of what we do here. Like what?
Last on the list, I had a Scotch egg that genuinely blew my mind. Who knew an egg wrapped in sausage meat and breadcrumbs can melt a person's brain? But this one purely did. It was in the Broad Chair restaurant on the quayside in Newcastle, and it was a thing of beauty. It was a freshly cooked Scotch egg, still runny in the middle, and I ate it so quickly I barely chewed it. Just inhaled these two sides.
I mean, you did have time to take a photo and sent it.
Oh, it was so good, man. It was so good. Oh, it was like the most beautiful thing.
I was happy for you, but I was also furious at the same time. It was a very weird emotional state.
Why were you furious?
Because I didn't have a Scotch egg. Even if I was there, I couldn't have had one because I can't have the sausage. My gout-friendly diet does not allow a Scotch egg.
Oh, yeah, this definitely would be a gout-inducing session of Scotch eggs. Mm. Yeah, there is a certain comfort that I gain from being in a country where I know any time, anywhere, I can get myself a Scotch egg. Like, I feel like that's something that reassures me on a higher plane of existence.
I suspect it's not the only thing you're going to gain if you eat a whole lot of Scotch eggs.
Yeah, heart attacks. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But what a way to go. How'd he go? He Scotch egged himself to death. And we'll say, I get it. I understand. What a way to go.
One thing that was telling about the photos you sent us a photo of a Scotch egg and then a photo of a curry. And it shows what I think of you, that I thought you'd had them both at the same time. I thought you had a Scotch egg and then a full curry.
No. Oh, my God.
Imagine. Didn't even cross my mind that they were two separate meals.
No, I had that as like a lunch thing, the Scotch egg and the curry for dinner. So there was space between them. But mostly space covered by beers, so dangerous.
I think the curry meal is the one that looked most exciting to me, to be honest. Just looked amazing.
What do you think of a place that requires you to bring your own booze? I found that an interesting and yet kind of cool thing.
That was a really big thing in New Zealand when I was growing up, called a BYO, so a BYO restaurant. So they didn't have a license, which is good because it meant your alcohol was a lot cheaper and you could take something that you wanted to drink, like a nice bottle of wine.
Exactly. It's a good that was the place that basically a place called Cairns in Newcastle, and it was just an amazing curry. It was one of those places where we kept ordering. The guy was like, "You want this, don't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "But you'll also want to have this." And we're like, "Do it?" And he's like, "Yeah, you definitely do." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "But you should, if you're going to get that, you should get these two things." And I'm like, "Yeah." And everything tastes amazing. And the bill was massive, but it didn't matter. It was just so good. The food was amazing. He was like, got us to get peanut rice and stuff like that. I was like, kind of a little tear going down my face as I was digging in with my Peshwari naan. Bloody hell.
Oh, Peshwari naan.
It was lush. It was all the things you want it to be.
Right, well, I'm pleased you had a good holiday with loads of amazing food. And now it's my turn to go on holiday and have loads of amazing food. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my report. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll bring you another one, but maybe we won't record it this time next year. That brings us to the end of the show. Hey, you, listener. Yeah, you, listening to this podcast and pretending that you're trying to find someone else to listen to and now feeling confused as I address you through the fourth wall. We need you to send us your messages for our last episode, episode 250, that will be coming out next week. You've got only a few days to send us via email on decadesfromhome@gmail.com, or you can contact us via Instagram if you want to send it a different way. Or you can contact us via our Blue Sky account. So go record yourself talking about the podcast, maybe saying how great and wonderful someone like producer Simon is, or potentially Simon, or how much you hate me. That would be a good combination of things to put into your podcast. Yeah, I know what you're thinking of me. Yaboo sucks to you. So yeah, send your messages as quickly as you can, and you will feature in episode 250. If you enjoyed the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and can really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck some stars our way there as well. The podcast has accounts on Blue Sky and Instagram, so feel free to follow us on your social media channels of choice. Just search for Decades From Home to find us. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article or topic you'd like us to cover, reach out via social media channels or get us on decadesfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40%german.com, where weekly articles are up every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks and bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss.
Tschüss.
The end is nigh. T-1.